right, good morning, church. You ready to have some fun today? Well, welcome not just those of you in the room, welcome those of you worshiping online. We're in week two of a series called Love Your Neighbor. And before we get into this morning's message portion, I want to start with a question. And the question is, and this is where you get to interact a little bit, raise your hand if you can think of someone in your life, it might be a friend, it might be a family member, who kind of likes to make up their own words, their own lyrics to songs that you listen to. Do you know anybody like that? This happens all the time. Sometimes you might be a person who, when you go, if you ever sang karaoke at a restaurant, it's kind of funny when you're getting ready to sing and you're like, those are the lyrics? Like, that's what that song says? I've never really known that. There are some common songs, believe it or not, where the lyrics get mixed up. And I realized this years ago. I take my boys on a boys' trip every year, and we were driving down to Southern California one time, and it's part of my responsibility as a dad to introduce them to some classic songs. And so I go, hey, you gotta hear this song. It's from Bon Jovi. You never heard of this band, but you need to know this. You need to know it as you're getting older. You gotta know it for college for sure. And it's called Living on a Prayer. And so we played it a bunch of different times, so they got to know the words, and then on the way back, we played it again. And one of my boys was yelling out, and I heard him say, he said, hold on to what you've got. It doesn't make a difference if you're naked or not. And I was like, oh, what did you just sing? I turned down the radio. I go, what did you just sing? And he goes, no, that's what it says. And I start to think, you really could. I'm going to show you a clip of the video. And you go, it is possible. Like, listen to this right here. Oh, you want to say, I know you want to go. That song, you want to go there, I know that. Another song that's commonly misunderstood, not the same genre, but like the grunge rock in the early 90s. You guys remember Nirvana? Smells Like Teen Spirit, their amazing song. Well, that video was filmed in like a shipping container type thing. And a lot of people thought, I don't know if it was the visual thing, they thought it was saying, here we are now in containers. And if you listen to it, you kind of think, and I'm going to show you a clip, and it's not from the video, it's from a concert. Take a look at this. Common misperception, as you know, the words are, here we are now, entertain us, is what it says. Yeah, of course. Let's get a little bit more common here. You guys heard of Taylor Swift? So she came out with a song a few years ago called Blank Space. And there was a line, I remember hearing this in the first several times, it's got a catchy tune. And by the way, Taylor T-Swift, I love her. She's, you might not think she's a musical genius, but I'll tell you this, she's a marketing genius. Because she has country and then she crossed over to pop and is now maybe the biggest like music star in the world. I mean, she is something else. But there's a line from this song, Blank Space, that I was like, and it says, I've got a lonely Starbucks lovers. Like, remember that? Like, I'm all, what is a Starbucks lover? And why would Taylor Swift have to meet guys at a Starbucks? And I was singing that out loud. And I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. I was so curious. I looked it up. And the lyric is actually, it's ingrained in my mind, incorrectly. Got a long list of ex-lovers. But I swear you can hear Starbucks. Take a look at this video right here. It's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over. If the high was worth the pain. Got a long list of ex-lovers. They'll tell you I'm insane. You serious? Lotta. It's not Lotta. It's got a long list of ex-lovers. They'll tell you I'm insane. That's the line. Okay. Here's my favorite example. It's more of a personal example, and that is in 1988, Steve Winwood came out with a song, and it's called Roll With It. And I remember one time, this is early in Bridget and Maya's marriage, we're rolling down we're listening to 80s station for some reason, and the song comes on, and she starts singing, and she starts laughing. I'm like, why is this song so funny? And she said, for almost all of my life, I thought the chorus of this song was not Roll With It, Baby, but Go Bridget Baby. It's like, I thought this was like my song. Like he would sing it to me and I would listen to it before I ran cross country meets in high school and it would like pump me up and I'm like, you're crazy, but listen to it. You could see how she would do that. So nowadays, when that song comes on, when that song comes on now, she just starts laughing. And I asked her for permission. I said, can I use this? She goes, oh yeah, that's, I still don't even know that I fully believe it's Roll With It. I'm like, oh no, that's the title. That's what it's called. Here's what I found out recently. It's kind of a little fun fact. This phenomenon, and you've experienced this when you're going like, oh wait, that's not the word. It has a name. It's called a mondegreen. Do you realize that? It's an actual term, a mondegreen. It is a misheard word or phrase that makes sense in your head, but which is entirely incorrect. I thought that's pretty funny. I'm sure you could think of your own examples as well. Well, for today's purposes, here's how it connects to where we're going. It speaks to us about the importance of listening, I mentioned we're in week two of a series called Love Your Neighbors. And last week we launched the series and we based the series in Genesis chapter 12 where God shows like a strategy to reach the world for him. And he chooses Abraham and he says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And then you in turn are gonna be a blessing to the entire world, to all nations through you, Abraham, eventually through Jesus, eventually to us. And we gave a big idea for really the whole series. It's a 5-week series. And here's the big idea. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. Let's say that together on three. 1, 2, 3. We are blessed to be a blessing. And so the 5-week series is like, okay, you wanna love your neighbors? We're gonna walk through these bless practices. It's the word bless, B-L-E-S-S. And each week we're choosing one to focus on. And so last week we started, of course, with the B. And the B in the blessed practices or the blessed principles stands for begin with prayer. And here's what we did. If you weren't here last week, I'm gonna catch up in like 2 minutes. And if you were here last week, you're gonna have this like reinforced for a couple of minutes here. We had everybody in the midst of the sermon pull out this card right here. And we have extras if you wanna grab one on your way out, if you wanna be serious about this. And it's called a neighbor map. And we wrote down the names of our 8 closest neighbors. They could be neighbors at home. They could be neighbors at school in our classes. They could be neighbors at work. And we wrote down their names. And then we made a commitment. We're gonna pray for our neighbors for how long? 5 minutes a day for all 8 of them. We're gonna pray for 5 minutes a day for our neighbors. I thought it was pretty cool. I started praying for my neighbors. I've heard from a bunch of people this last week, whether through text or through email, I heard from 3 of my neighbors. 2 of them texted saying, thank you for praying. I didn't even know they were watching. One of them, because one of the things I said is, this 8th person in my neighborhood, this 8th family, I don't know their names because they're kind of around the corner. And so they're just like out of my mind's eye. And one of my neighbors sent me a nice text and said, oh, here are the names of those neighbors. And here's a little bit of their background. I thought that was kind of cool. They were helping me, hold me accountable to that. And so maybe you've been praying and I've been praying. Another guy texted me and said, hey, we have a house that's empty right now. And so we're praying for the family that will move in there. We don't know who they are yet. And we talked to someone else and they're praying for the family that's going to move into that house. And we were trying to be very practical, and we're gonna keep doing this today, about how we equip you to pray. Because some people are going like, how do I pray for my neighbors? So we put this slide up there and said, this is what to pray for. And a bunch of you actually took pictures. You could take a picture of this if you wanted to be reminded of what to pray for. Physical health, kids and family and relationships, emotional health, careers, finances, hearts, faith. A simple way to think is if someone came to you and said, we're gonna be praying for you, what would you like to pray us to pray about? Pray for that. Chances are all these things would be on that list, and these are ways that we could pray for our neighbors for 5 minutes a day. And maybe you noticed this already, but I predicted there would be some benefits, some tangible benefits to praying for 5 minutes a day for your neighbors, and here are just a few of them. I said, you're gonna be aligned with God's heart. Your heart is gonna be aligned with God's heart for your neighbors, for people. Your heart and your mind are also gonna be attuned to the Spirit's promptings. The Holy Spirit of God is gonna prompt you to do things, say things, pray things. and your heart is gonna be attuned to that. And then finally, you'll be aware of the people to bless. Sometimes it's like, is it her? Is it him? Is it them? But as you pray for people, you will be aware of who to bless. So that was last week. Begin with prayer. This week, we're looking at the L in bless, the L, and the L stands for, you don't even have to take notes because you're gonna remember this, listen. The L stands for listen. Relationships start with listening to someone's words, to someone's life. And if you think of the neighbors that we've been praying for, if you really want them to feel known, if you really want them to feel loved, we have to listen to them in a way where we know what they're saying, we know what they're feeling. I went to Fuller Seminary. Maybe some of you know that. This was 20 plus years ago. And it's down in Pasadena. I had many, many great professors, but there was one in particular who was my favorite. His name was David Augsburger. And the class that I took from him, I only took one class, and it was pastoral care and counseling. So it wasn't like this deep theological class, but I still use some of the principles, family systems theory, and some of the other things that he taught in the midst of that class. He was a prolific author. And I'm gonna quote from you a book that he wrote. It's called Caring Enough to Hear and Be Heard. Here's what he says. It's my favorite professor. Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. Being heard, so close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. We have to reckon with the reality that over the last 2 years, we've experienced a lot as a people, as a society, as a community, even as a church. And so for instance, if you go back 2+ years, we had a really contentious election cycle that caused division. We went from there into some increased polarization, some isolation for over a year, people taking shots at one another on social media. But people kind of got backed into their corners. And we talked a lot maybe with our family members, but we did not have many conversations with people who don't think like us or do COVID like we do COVID or quarantine like we quarantine. And so here's the result of that. We as a people, we just have to recognize this, we've gotten worse at listening. We haven't gotten better, we've gotten worse. So when we think of our neighbors, if we don't listen well, they will not feel heard, they will not feel known, they won't even feel loved. And we're trying to love our neighbors. I'll give you a practical example, and unfortunately, this is a little bit embarrassing, but I'll tell it anyway, and it just happened this week. Wednesday of this week, had a long day, and my Wednesdays are usually one of my longest days of the week. This one had meetings that started at 8 and went till 5, like every minute in a meeting, kind of listening, talking, those types of things. Then at 5 o'clock, I went to a dinner with a bunch of guys from CPC that a friend hosted and was there. I got home about 10 o'clock. And it was one of those days, and you've had these days before, but I was just kind of on, like really on from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., 14 hours straight of being on. And so driving home, I was like, I am exhausted. And I got home and my wife, Bridget, was like, she missed me. And she wanted to talk. And I was kind of talked out. And I was like listened out, to be honest. But she wanted to talk about something specific. She wanted to talk about the furniture situation that we've been like talking about and around over the last several weeks. And so she had like the 5 printouts of the pictures of the things. And she's like, and she kind of starts, meets me at the island in the kitchen. She's like, okay, so what do you think? Furniture situation. Are you thinking it's like the couch with the 2 swivels? Are you thinking more like sectional and 1 swivel? And I was like, and I just got short with her. And so when she got to the 3rd, and by the way, I wanted the couch and the 2 swivels, and I thought I made that clear. So when she got to the 3rd one, like the 3 pictures of the sectional and the 1 swivel, I went like this, I went, nope. And then she turned over the next and started to talk, and I go, nope. And she flipped over the 3rd one, I go, nope. And she stood back and she goes, you are not even listening to me. And she was right. And I felt bad. I said, I'm sorry, you're right. Okay, fast forward to the next morning, literally the next morning, Thursday morning. We do the same thing we do every Thursday morning, which is we get up, the first one up, usually he makes coffee. We get our coffee, we go to our chairs. I go to my spot, I've got my Bible, my devotional books right next to the fireplace. She goes to her spot on the couch and we're in our spots, mostly reading and thinking, and sometimes we talk. And she lobs out a question during our quiet times. Again, this is next morning, Thursday morning. She goes, what are you preaching on this week? Like, what's the L? She didn't know. She didn't know. What's the L in the bless practices? I go, listen. Preaching on listening. And I didn't even know, I'm not even thinking. Sipping my coffee, reading God's word. She goes, She didn't say, She gave it a second, Like, two hums is a lot. I didn't pick up on it. She gives a third, like, Finally, I look at her, I'm three hums in, I'm like dead. I look at her and I go, and she says, how are you gonna preach on that? You wouldn't even listen to me at all last night. And I was so dense, so dull, I didn't even remember. I'm like, I had gone to sleep, like that was yesterday. What are you talking about? It's a new day. It says right here, Lord's mercies are new every morning. Like, said, clearly I need to study a little bit more about listening. So here's a synopsis, a little equation of what my behavior toward my wife made her feel. She felt unheard, which means she didn't feel known and she didn't feel loved. Now this is true for, sometimes this is our interactions with our spouse, it's same with our kids sometimes, and it's absolutely true for our neighbors. So in the midst of this series, God is saying, hey, if you wanna love your neighbors, and we do, if you wanna bless the people, God is saying, that I've put in your life, that live around you right now, we must be more intentional about listening and listening to understand. Now Jesus, of course, was an incredible listener. Of course, he modeled these practices for us. Did he do amazing miracles? Yes. Was he a phenomenal teacher? Of course. But Jesus, when you look at the scriptures, took time again and again and again to ask people questions and to show them love in the most simple, the most practical way. He listened to them. In Luke's gospel, which is where we'll be today, Luke has a great capture of his interaction with a blind beggar. And I want to bring it to you. It's Luke chapter 18. Here's what it says. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. And they told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. The people who were going along with Jesus told the man, be quiet. But he shouted even louder, son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus heard him, he stopped. And he told some people, bring the blind man over to me. Now, I just want to stop right here and point a couple things out. Don't want us to miss this. Jesus was not looking for someone to heal that day. Remember how the story started? He was on his way to Jericho. Now, Jericho was the last stop, the last big city before they headed up the mountain to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And that time of year, Jericho was busy, it was bustling. Picture like New York, picture Times Square in New York City. And in the midst of that busy, bustling scene, a voice cries out, have mercy on me, and Jesus hears him. I don't know how he heard him. It reminds me of how when you're with moms sometimes and they're in a crowd or they're at a party, they're at a play date or something like that, and something happens to their kid, you hear the cries of your own children. It's like some special sense that you have. I go, how did you hear that? I don't know how Jesus heard this blind man, but he heard him. Even with people saying, be quiet, be quiet. He shouts louder. And here's what happens next. Jesus asked the man, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he answered. Jesus replied, look and you will see. Your eyes are healed because of your faith. Now, if you're like me, my attention goes to the miracle. But what I want to call your attention to today is the question of the man that leads to the miracle. Because the miracle does happen, you go, well, of course that. You knew that was coming. You got a blind man, he can't see, he calls to Jesus, Jesus heals him, and then he can see the end. So let's not move through that too fast. It's this question right here. What do you want me to do for you? Why would Jesus ask that? I mean, he's God in the flesh. He knew. He's trying to build up the dramatic effect for the moment when he heals him. I don't think so. I think this question that Jesus asked, and Jesus asked a lot of questions, I'll come back to this toward the end of the message. I think this is showing us something profound about Jesus' character, namely this right here. He didn't assume that he knew what people needed. So he asked them direct questions and he listened to them. So if we're following, if we're Christians who follow Jesus, we're called not to assume what our neighbors need, but to ask questions, to listen to them and do the same. You want to love your neighbors, bless your friends, neighbors, family. We imitate Jesus in this way. It is a challenge to hear people this way. So here are a couple examples, concrete examples of what we might need to do in order to be better at this. First thing is this. When we're listening to someone speak or we ask them a question, we have to not be thinking of what we're going to say next. You do that? I do that all the time. To truly listen. Another thing that we could do, and I'm guilty of this sometimes too, we need to put our cell phones down or away. Not be the one who's kind of listening, sitting at a table, cell phone up, all the text popping up. No, cell phone down, cell phone away. To give people, and I've talked about this before, give people face time and full attention. Maybe turn off the TV when people come over. Maybe close the computer when you really want to listen to someone. Going back to the equation, remember? The equation that I got wrong with my wife, Bridget. When we listen to people, they feel known and they feel loved. Remember the quote from my favorite professor? They're almost indistinguishable when we listen to me. So when I look at the scriptures, when I look at the gospels, I flip through them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the accounts of Jesus's life. Maybe because of how I'm wired, maybe my personality, like I'm an achiever. I'm an Enneagram 3. I'm a go-getter. I'm a charger. I'm drawn to the big stuff, the healings, the feeding the 5,000, the healing the sick, the raising the dead, the stuff that's exceptional, the stuff that's extraordinary. But when you look closer at how Jesus actually did it, it's way more personal. It's way more interactive. He models these blessed practices. We showed last week, he was constantly praying. He prayed before everything that he did. He prayed during the things that he was doing. He listens. He pauses for people. He pulls up a chair. He eats lots of meals with people. He asks questions and he listens. So how do we apply this? We take advantage, we begin to view our daily lives, our interactions with our neighbors at home, at work, at school, with opportunities to do these things. Now, in an effort to be as applicable as possible and equip you as best as we can, I wanna close the message with, I'm gonna give you three tangible examples of how to listen to people, okay? So if you're a note taker, you can jot these down. Here's the first one. Listen to the needs. Listen to the needs. And if you're thinking specifically of your neighbors, what are the needs of my neighbors? I came across a story this week of a missionary group that was going into India to serve a very poor, remote village. And they brought all the supplies that they would need. They brought the programs. They brought skilled workers. And their mindset was like, we're gonna transform this place. Health, vitality, vibrancy, it's gonna happen. But the first thing that they did was they began to ask questions of the leaders of the village. And they said, what do you need? And they had their ideas of what they needed. They said, do you want a hospital? Because you got people getting sick, we can build you a hospital. We got all the tools you need. Do you want a school, education, it goes on and on. Do you want a church, a place to worship? You name it, we can build it. And here was their answer. They said, we want a mailbox. And the group was like, you want a mailbox? Help me understand. See, in India, if you don't have a mailbox, you don't have a zip code. And if you don't have a zip code, you literally don't exist on the government's map. Doesn't matter if you have 20,000 people, 30,000 people. You have no social services, no connection, acknowledgement from the government. So when they said we want a mailbox, what they were asking for is we want an identity. We want to be seen. We want to be known. We want to be heard. We want to be recognized by our own country. So the missionary group responded in kind. And ready for this, it took them 2 years to work through the government bureaucracy to get them a mailbox and a zip code. But when they did, then the village began to transform. here's how we apply this. If they didn't take time to ask the questions, to actually listen to their needs, they would not have known how to serve them. I was thinking in our context right here, one of the coolest things we do every year is Serve Day. This last Serve Day, the first weekend of October, we sent out over 1,800 volunteers all over the East Bay, all over this valley and beyond. And it's so cool. But can you imagine if we just had everybody, all you show up here on campus on the morning of Serve Day and go, oh gosh, we got the big rally. We got a couple thousand people. We get everybody charged up and just said, go serve somewhere. Just go give people what you want to give them. It wouldn't make sense. So what we need to do, and what we do every year, it's already started. Matter of fact, it's weeks, months in the making already. We have a team of people who go out and meet with multiple leaders in all different sectors of our community and society, and we literally ask, what do you need? In the first year when we launched the For the Valley movement, I went to my assistant and I said, I want a face-to-face meeting. Like, let's make a list of all the most influential community leaders. I want an hour with all of them to ask them that question. What do you need? Superintendent of school, mayor of Danville, vice mayor of Danville, mayor of San Ramon, county supervisors. Like, what do you need? And when they answer, then we serve them. So the first thing is just simple. When you think of your neighbors, how to love them, listen to them. What do you need? Here's a second way to listen. Listen to the heart. Not even necessarily their words sometimes. It's the heart behind their words. In 1816, a guy by the name of René Laennec, he's a French doctor. He started to get uncomfortable, and you can imagine, putting his ear to the chest of female patients in order to hear their heartbeat. So he said, I need to do something about this. And he invented a tool still used by almost all doctors today. You know what the tool is? Stethoscope. He's famous for that. But he's also famous for the instructions that he would give to his doctors that he was teaching and training up to use the stethoscope. Here's a quote from him. He says, if you use this tool, don't stop listening to your patients. They will still tell you how to heal them. In other words, don't just listen to the heartbeat, listen to the heart, the words, the feelings. So how do we apply this? As we move from a people who's just taking 5 minutes a day, and we're praying for our neighbors, the next step as we begin to listen to them and go, okay, I wanna listen to their needs, I want to listen to their hearts. These are our actual neighbors. These are our coworkers at work. These are the people we sit next to in class, the people we play with on teams in an effort to love and bless them. Okay, the third one comes from the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is God's chosen instrument to bring the good news to the Gentiles. And if you look at the book of Acts, especially the second part of Acts, the Apostle Paul is bringing good news to what is now modern day Turkey and Greece. And in Acts 17, he finds himself in the city of Athens. And Athens at that time was known for being devoted to and a society that just devoured new ideas and philosophies. It's all they did. It's all they talked about. Kind of like the Bay Area devours technology, new technology nowadays. And so here's what it says in Acts chapter 17. It says, all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. And so Paul, I want you to picture him here. He basically does a lap around the city, paying attention to needs, paying attention to hearts, listening, observing, watching. And then he does something. Look at the next verse. It says, Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus, and he said, people of Athens, I see, I've observed, I've taken time, I've done a lap, I see that in every way you're very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at all your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. And he goes on to say, so you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. And then here's what Paul does. He goes on and he ties what he's observed to what God offers. He goes, you're worshiping a God that you don't know and can't know. And I'm about to tell you about a God who you can know. So he's looking for opportunities to bring hope to the people that he's around. So this is the third way that we listen. Listen for ways to bring hope. Listen for ways to bring hope. We are a community. We're a people. We live in neighborhoods. We're around fellow students and coworkers who are short on hope right now. Their reservoirs of hope are shallow. They're arid. They're dry. So we listen for ways that we can bring hope. Now you're going like, okay, give me a tangible example of that. One author put it this way. There are three knots where if you listen for these in conversation, any version of them, not these words verbatim, but any version of them, this is an opportunity to bring hope. So here's one example. I'm not doing well. We ask people that all the time. Hey, how you doing? Actually, I asked someone this week. Hey, how are you doing? She said, actually, I'm not that great. So I started asking questions and doing my best to listen. That might be an opportunity to pray. It might be an opportunity to invite. It might be an opportunity to encourage. You don't know, but I'm not doing well. We listen where we can bring hope. Here's another example. I'm not from here. Many of us have deep roots around here, but there are people moving in all the time. Got new neighbors, like the guys who's praying for his new neighbors that are about to come in. Whenever you hear someone say any version of this, I'm not from here, I'm not well connected, that's an opportunity to bring hope. Hey, you can come to this group. Hey, you can come to this ministry. Hey, you can come to dinner at my house. Hey, do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to go for coffee? All those things will bring hope to that person's life. Let me give you one more example. I'm not prepared for this. Any version, when someone gets surprised by something, when someone's caught off guard by something and they give voice to it, happened again in my, now granted, I'm reading this and studying this, and so my antennas are up leading into this, but let me just give you an example. A friend of mine comes up, I said, hey, how you doing? She said, I'm not prepared for the report that I just got. I said, what's the report? She said, my dad has pretty advanced cancer. No treatment, 6 months. With treatment, 18 months. Those are his choices. That's an opportunity, if we're listening, to bring hope. Can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? Maybe invite someone. I was thinking, we have this women's event on Friday, and we have a men's event coming up with Buster Posey on the 19th, first one in 2 years. These are opportunities to invite people into a situation, into an environment where they're gonna be encouraged, where they're gonna be filled with a little bit of hope. That's why we do these things. So you go to the women's event, you bring some friends, they get some hope. You buy a table, they'll say yes when it's Buster Posey. They'll say yes when it's Buster Posey. So you get a table, you invite your buddies, you invite your neighbors, you invite your coworkers. They hear a message that fills them with hope. We don't have to overthink it, really. Here is the Apostle Paul's, really, his strategy. He tells us in 1 Corinthians. He says, I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. Trying to listen to all my neighbors, trying to love all my neighbors so that by all possible means I might save some. One of my favorite authors, Dallas Willard, he puts it this way. Next slide. It says, the first act of love is always the giving of attention. Think about that. You give someone your FaceTime. You give someone attention. It's a way of loving them. This is what Jesus did. The God that we follow did this all the time. I was struck by this. There was an author by the name of Martin Copenhaver. He wrote a book called Jesus is the Question. I'll just wrap up with this. I was struck by this. He said, if you study the Gospels and you look at how Jesus did the ministry and how Jesus reached people, he was asking questions constantly. So he goes, I did a thorough study. In the Gospels, Jesus asked, you ready for this? 307 questions. Guess how many questions he answers? Three. He's a listener. He gave people his attention. So think about this. Wait, I mean, just put this together for the series. Big idea. We're blessed to be a blessing. God has given us neighbors, coworkers, friends, classmates. How do we love them? We bless them. We're blessed to be a blessing. What does that look like? Well, we begin with prayer. We pray for them. Just spend a few minutes a day praying for the people that God has around you. We listen to them. How do we listen? Well, we listen for needs. We listen to their hearts. We listen for opportunities to bring hope. And I'm gonna come back to this David Augsburger quote because I think it kind of ties it together for us. And remember, here's what he said. Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. So here's what we get to do at the end of this service. We get to receive communion together. And the communion table, I think, is the best way to tie these things together. This is a picture, a visible picture. And so if you're at home, you can get out your communion elements. If you're in here, you can get out your bread and your juice here. This is a picture of Jesus saying, I see you. I see your needs, your deepest needs is forgiveness of sins. I hear you. I hear you're tired, you're weary, you're heavy burdened. And part of that burden comes with you're trying to do it all yourself. You're trying to fulfill the requirements of the law on your own. Don't do that. I'm the fulfillment of the law. Put your trust, your faith in what I have done for you. Trust me for forgiveness of sins. Trust me for the grace and the love that you need. And if you want hope, if you want a bottomless reservoir of hope, look at this and go, my God did this for me? On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and after giving thanks, he broke it. He said, this is my body given for you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup represents the new covenant of my blood shed for you. And so he said, when you take this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death for the forgiveness of sins until he comes again. And so I pray that as we participate and partake in this together this morning, that whether you're in person or you're at home, that you would just let this be a reminder and an encouragement to you that God sees you. He hears your deepest needs. He hears the cries of your heart. He wants to give you hope. He gave his very life to do that. I mean, there's no other God like our God who's willing to sacrifice so that we can experience this. So I'm gonna pray and ask God's blessing and then we'll partake together. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you for this blessed sacrament. Thank you for the chance to pause in the midst of a service and focus on what you've given for us. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for being such a good listener. Not just back then in scriptures, but even now you hear us. You hear the cries of our hearts. You hear our needs. You hear our individual and collective need for hope. Thank you, Jesus, that you did this so that we would never hear the wrong message from you. We would never have to get it misunderstood. You love us this much. You gave your life for us. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would make these communion elements, the bread and the juice, a means of communicating your grace and your love and even your hope for your people. We pray this in Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen. Let's partake together, church. Thank you. Sometimes it's nice to have a little quiet in the midst of a worship service, amen? But it's also a blessing to be able to sing together and respond corporately to what we just experienced, what we just heard. And so, church, would you stand and join us in one more song before we wrap up our service? And it's really just a reprise of a song that we're familiar with. Let's sing to the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. So church, isn't that nice to sing after communion? Like your voice sounds so good. As you get ready to go, I just want to remind you, you don't want to miss next Sunday. If you're a mom or you know a mom, or you have a mom, bring them next week. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a celebration of who you are, and you're not going to want to miss it. One other thing I wanted to remind you, actually it's not a reminder because I haven't told you, so I want to tell you. At the end of these messages, when there are things that we see that would be a great thing to put in your hand, like a tool to apply what we're teaching about, this is a series where we just want it to be as practical and applicable as possible. And so in this book that we're following along for this message called Bless, there is a little thing put together by a church in Nashville called Ethos Church. And it was listening questions. So I have a bunch of these printed out and they're on the info table as you go. these are so good. I found myself reading this week. I'm like, that is so good. That is so good. Like, this is how we should do it. This is how we do it. It's questions for where you live, questions for where you work, and questions for where you play. Questions to be able to ask people and then listen to them. So this is a tool. Take advantage of the tool. They're right back there. Maybe some of our ushers will even have them in your hand, and you could just grab one of these on your way out. And finally, if you're new or relatively new to our church, remember we're trying something new, and it's called a First Steps class. It's only about 30 minutes. I'm going right to it right now. And we had 10 people there between the first service and the second service, and it was awesome. And so you might be sitting here going like, gosh, I've been around here too long to be considered new, but this really doesn't feel like a family church to you yet. It's too big, or you haven't gotten connected. Really, we're doing this just to help you get connected and help you get familiar. There was a woman I met in that, and she goes, I've been coming here on and off since, and I was waiting, and she goes, I was thinking it was a couple weeks, couple months. She goes, since 1995. I promise you, you have not been here since 1995 and not gotten connected. But guess what? She's connected now. And so you could just come. You don't need a reservation. You could just show up. You can bring your kids, of course, and it won't run over. We won't keep you more than 30 minutes, but it's just a chance for you to get to know the church. And I'm going to be there. Ryan's going to be there, and some other ministry leaders. So God bless you. We'll see you next week, Mother's Day.